This is Conclave Conversations, a podcast for college students and young adults. Today's episode is sponsored by Metropolitan Church in Birmingham, Alabama. For more information, please visit metropolitanchurch.net/conclave.
We're joined today by the creative arts pastor at Metropolitan Church, Andrew Sapp. Andrew, thanks and welcome to Conclave Conversations.
For having me, guys. So glad to be here.
I'm very happy about this.
Very happy about this too.
Yeah.
You're a big tech guy.
I'm a big tech guy.
Yeah. You're a big tech guy.
You probably do all this better than we could.
But, no.
Well,
I'm just excited people get to see like a brief glimpse of basically what we do every day when we talk to each other.
Yes. Just a little sneak peek.
It's a little sneak peek.
Yeah. This is how we work.
The tip of the iceberg.
Usually it is, hey, have you seen this video?
Yeah.
Have you seen this video? Hey, let me show you this video.
Yeah.
And or we will send them back and forth on Twitter or Instagram. Yeah.
Or have you seen this news article about the lady who wasn't actually dead and she woke up in the funeral home? Yeah, like
every day.
Every day.
That is every day here.
That happens once a day in America.
Yeah. So I know one of Andrew, I know that's one of your loves. Casey, you do too. I as well. We all like movies. We all like movies.
Oh, gosh.
We love movies.
Oh, I love movies. You know,
it's a huge movie guy.
And we were talking before we started recording about how we have these collections of movies and how that used to be the thing. You'd go to your favorite store.
Yeah.
Not as much for Casey because you're a child, but...
I can go on my online store and get them.
You would go to your online store,
but we do have a very large collection at home.
Yes, yes. I bet you're
that. Physical copies.
Correct. Yeah, that used to be the thing. I was so excited when a new movie would come out that you wanted to buy.
Oh,
it came out on Tuesdays. Mm. You could go to Walmart sometimes on late Monday nights, and they would already put it on the rack.
Walmart. I can remember going to Walmart at midnight to like pick up a movie when it would come out.
Yeah, because they would put it out real late, so it would be Tuesday morning.
Standing there waiting to get it off the shelf.
Yeah, I haven't experienced that.
Oh, man.
And you probably never will.
Well, no, you know what? Just kidding, because I just pre-order stuff now.
Everything's digital.
Even for video games. I remember there used to be an age where we'd all sit in line, outside the video game store.
Absolutely. I've done it.
Pre-order the movie, and you wake up, it's on your phone that morning.
Yeah. I think Madden just came out, and I used to wait in line for Madden. Now you can just download it.
Download it before it even comes out.
Right. You don't even need the physical copy.
So at midnight when it hits, you just watch it.
I know.
It's incredible. It's insane.
Well, so I thought we'd talk movies today.
I'm super happy to talk movies.
You know, it's
today.
Like no matter who you are, generally speaking, everybody has their kind of favorite movies, movie lines. You know, you can kind of weave it in and out of conversations all the time, and that's how we all are, right?
You can quote movie lines at an inappropriate time and get yourself in trouble.
That's exactly right. And you can do that with TV shows too. We quote The Office a lot around here.
The Office a lot.
You know, so you have to kind of be careful in a church setting. Make sure you.
Side note: I just, since we're talking about movies, I have to tell this story, and it'll be really brief. So it was my first week working here. I always quote movies. Kelly is walking by my office. I haven't really even made any kind of relationship with Kelly. I'm the new guy. She's walking by my office to head out to lunch, and I say the quote from Buddy the Elf, the movie Elf. Bye, Buddy. Hope you find your dad. It's Mr. Narwhal talking to Buddy.
Did you feel
Buddy.
Comfortable saying that?
I said it. It was great.
Oh,
and then
no.
It dawned on me, Kelly's dad had just passed away maybe a week and a half before that.
Yeah.
Literally crawled under a desk. Text Haley, she wasn't my wife at the time, text her and said, I think I've probably just lost my job here because of what I just did.
Yeah.
I felt terrible for weeks. Kelly stepped back at that point, looked in my office and started laughing, to which didn't make me feel any better at all.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's my,
Good job,
like
Andrew.
I said, that's my movie quote. Sometimes it gets you in trouble.
Yep. It's true.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so funny, like we have favorite movies and then you have like lines from movies that are so iconic to the movies, right? Like, we probably could just play word association with different kind of movies.
Yeah.
And you probably could come up with different lines or close, maybe not verbatim, but pretty close
100%.
To it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Easy.
Oh, yeah.
Easy breezy.
No, there are lines that, that more people know. Like, I'm pretty sure people, if they haven't watched the movie, they probably know the line.
Like,
or a version of it, even if it's not, like you said, 100% correct. Like, they
like
know.
Like the Mandela effect?
Yeah.
pretty like, close. Like
that's like Darth Vader's?
Yeah, like Darth Vader's.
Okay, all right, you know. So great example. All right, Star Wars. If you would say of all the quotes in Star Wars, what is the most popular quote ever quoted from Star Wars?
Oh, well, that's the one I was thinking about.
You would 100%.
What is it?
90% of people would say, Luke, I'm your
Luke,
father.
Luke, I'm your father.
And that's not correct.
But.
I would say that's number one for me.
It's well, but no, here, I am your father.
Yeah. That's the
oh, effect. It's not really Luke, not I'm your father.
Luke, no, I'm your father.
Really?
Yeah.
See, you would have got it wrong.
I would have gotten it wrong. Mm-hmm. But it is that quote. But just I had the quote yeah, wrong, but it is from that,
right,
that
yeah.
line
right, but
in
like
the
a
movie.
That's like a common mistake. And I don't know. I guess.
No, I am your father.
Line. Yeah. The line is no, I
what
am
a,
your father.
What a voice that man's got.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. James Earl
Jones. Oh, man. He's the man.
I mean, come on. He's played Mufasa. He played Darth Vader.
He was in Field of Dreams.
The Sandlot. Come on.
Yeah. So he's kind of
a big deal.
He's kind of a big deal.
Almost like Conclave Radio.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, but he's a little bigger than us.
Slightly bigger.
Just a little bit, not much.
Yeah. Let me tell you one of my favorite movies. This is probably my all time favorite movie.
All right, here we go.
All right, and I would say it's probably in the top 50, maybe. Maybe I'm overhyping it, but I'm a big fan of The Fugitive with Harrison Ford.
Yes, Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones. It is, I'm telling you.
Great film.
If it's one of those, if you ever see it on television, I'll sit down and I'll watch the whole thing.
I felt like there was a period a couple years back where it was playing like every day on TBS.
Yeah. Yeah, it's on TNT or TBS all the time.
That's one of the movies on my list.
They own the TV rights.
Admittedly, I have not watched it yet.
Wait.
It's on my friend.
I knew it would happen.
It's on what list?
Of movies to watch.
Oh, okay. your bucket list of movies to watch.
I was thinking it was on your favorite movie list.
I do have a list of movies that I need to watch.
And I'll tell you, there was a sequel to The Fugitive.
U.S. Marshals.
Called U.S. Marshals.
Wesley Snipes.
It was really good.
Not as good.
It's not The Fugitive, but it's definitely worth watching. Tommy Lee Jones, he gets it done.
I'm a big Harrison Ford fan, so Fugitive, Fugitive was great.
All right, I'm going to give you my favorite quote. This is one of my favorite quotes. Of course, you know, everybody, if you've seen The Fugitive, one of your famous quotes is, you know, I didn't kill my wife. Yeah.
It's one of those movies, too, that frustrates you till the end.
Of course it does.
You know he's innocent. But.
Yeah, I didn't kill my wife, and Sam Gerard says, I don't care. And then it comes back, this is one of my favorite lines. All right, so The Fugitive, he has escaped. The local police says, oh, he's dead. There's no way we can find him. Or, you know, he died in the bus accident. And they find chains. And here comes Samuel Gerard, U.S. Marshals, right? Service. And this is what he says. Listen up, ladies and gentlemen. And you want to say it like Tommy Lee Jones. He has such that iconic. Our fugitive has been on the run for 90 minutes. Average foot speed over uneven ground, barring injuries, is 4 miles per hour. And that gives us a radius of 6 miles. What I want out of each of you, and this is my favorite part, and every one of you, is a hard target search of every gas station, residence, warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, and doghouse in that area. Checkpoints go up at 15 miles. Your fugitive's name is Dr. Richard Kimball. Now go get him.
Now here is a fugitive quick fact. Okay. So they filmed a lot of the scenes around Murphy, North Carolina, which isn't that far from Cleveland. Get out of town.
Yeah. Look, we didn't talk about this beforehand. That's quite impressive.
Yeah, I know random movie facts. So the scene where the train derails in that film, the bus accident, train wreck, that wreckage is still there.
Really?
Like they just left it after the film. Like it's you can still visit that site where they filmed that at. Like the bus wreckage and all.
Like
still.
To this day.
As of a couple years ago,
preserve it or whatever.
Didn't really preserve it. I think it's just kind of there, just rusting, rotting away or whatever.
Oh, I've got to go.
Because it wasn't that far from Cleveland, and so when I lived in Cleveland, I would look up like things. Yeah. There's something to do around here, and I was like, oh hey, I should go visit.
That's
so I never
cool.
got to visit it, but I thought it was neat.
Oh,
yeah, they filmed a lot of it right there. So there's your movie fact.
Hopefully, I can
do this for every film that we talk about because that would be amazing.
I could do a whole show of just my favorite lines and quotes and scenes from The Fugitive.
We should do that.
Oh,
you can have me back for part two down the road.
Now I just feel like I need to go watch. I'll probably watch it tonight.
You need to go watch it. It's good. It's probably on. If you don't have it, if you can't find it and watch it, I think I have it.
You won't regret it.
So segue in. I think I have it in my talking about movies and DVDs. I have crazy collection of DVDs and movies at home, and I have them cataloged on my phone. There's like over 400 films. They're in alphabetical order and an app that I purchased so that I could do that on my phone. It's kind of crazy, but anyways, I have The Fugitive. Let me check. I think I have The Fugitive. Let's see. The Fugitive. Yes, I have The Fugitive on Blu-ray, so if you want to borrow it, you just let me know.
Oh,
if you can't find it on the streaming service.
Then I'll let you know.
You need to watch it.
I'll let you know.
Put it on your to-do list, Casey Hall.
top five.
Well, I this past summer I took a American cinema course.
Okay.
Easiest summer class I could, but also because I like movies. And it was as simple as watch a movie, read a paragraph on it, you know, one or two reviews, and the class is over. But I recently discovered that older movies are not as bad as I thought they'd be. One of my it was a surprise favorite movie was It Happened One Night. Have you ever seen that from 1934?
Great film, Clark Gable and what's her name? I can't think of the lady's name, but yes, I've seen the movie. Great movie.
It was good. That and Casablanca.
It Happened One Night is like the first like rom-com, really.
Yeah,
it was like the first rom-com movie like ever really filmed.
It's considered a screwball comedy.
Yeah.
Because it's people just in a realistic setting. But
yeah, it had kind of romance and stuff. Great movie. I've actually seen that before.
I love it. I love it. I didn't realize that the 30s, people were actually funny in the 30s until I watched that movie. So
yeah, good. Classic movies are the best. So
yeah, that's another thing I need to do is watch more classic movies. You know, I've seen movies. You know, I've seen Jaws and movies from the 80s, which...
That's not really classic. I mean...
Jaws is the 70s.
At this point, they can be considered classics, but when I say classics, I mean like...
You mean like Gone with the Wind? Like
original.
Classic.
Gone with the Wind.
Yeah.
You
need to watch everything that John Ford ever filmed.
Yeah.
He filmed... he was the director for... John Ford is like the OG Steven Spielberg, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he was a movie director from like the 30s through... I want to say like the early 60s, something like that. So he was the director for Grapes of Wrath, which, you know, huge movie, like one of the first big blockbuster movies that came out. He also filmed this movie in 1956. This is one of my favorite films. It's called The Searchers with John Wayne. It's like the epitome of like the Western movie, okay? So this is top one of most Western films. Influenced so many movies down the road, which I'll come back to. But you need to if you get a chance... Watch The Searchers, starring John Wayne. It's a great film, considered one of like the best movies of all time, and it was filmed by John Ford. And John Ford actually, he won like 5 or 6 Academy Awards for like best director. So I mean, he was the OG. Like this guy was like, you know, before Spielberg and all these other big name directors. Like
John Ford.
He was the OG. Man. Like he was the guy. He set the like level. He set the bar and the precedence for everybody else. So.
Neat.
What is Andrew, like, if do you have a like numero, you know, like for me it's The Fugitive, or Casey, for me it's The Fugitive. What is your number, like, do you have like one of your top favorite movies? Like I've been vulnerable. I've told you now my number.
I'm really surprised that's your number one movie.
What movie I've seen more than that,
what
is a comedy that I'm going to share later.
Are you going to share later?
Yeah, okay. I'll share later. It's the embarrassing movie that I've seen probably more than The Fugitive. Does that make sense?
By the way, since this is a movie podcast, this is going to be the extended edition. We're going to have the director's cut. We'll also have later on. We'll have like the 4-hour version of this.
Great. Available. But no, this is a conversation we could have for the whole day.
Extended edition.
Yeah.
This could be like a 4-parter, but it probably won't.
We're going to break it up into 3 films.
But there's different. There's like
it's going to be a trilogy.
You know, there's favorite films, and then there are films that are considered the best. Does that make sense? There's a difference between favorite and, like, the best film?
Well, it's relative. Like, you know, we all have our little tastes and things that really, you know, I like whodunit, action, police. If the FBI or CIA are involved.
I know what you're – it just hit me what your other
favorite
movie
is. There's no way you will guess my favorite movie.
Really? Clue, come on.
Clue's in the top five, but it's not
you said comedies.
Oh, no, it's much more embarrassing than Clue.
Clue's not embarrassing.
Yeah.
Listen, Clue is one of those movies that, again, screwball comedy. It's completely, it's full of like just crazy puns and stuff.
Some of the best humor, best lines
hilarious.
Ever is in
like,
Clue.
You need to, if you want a funny night, you need to sit down and you need to watch.
I've seen Clue.
You need to watch Clue. You need to watch Airplane, and then your night will be made.
Right.
Those two movies are just.
No, mine is very, the movie that I've seen.
Embarrassing?
I quit counting after 27.
Good.
I saw Wayne's World. Wayne's World was
Party Time Excellent.
I saw it in theaters. Here's the hilarious thing. I saw me and my best friend at the time, we saw Wayne's World in theaters. Just thought it was just hilarious. I mean, you know, it was Wayne's World. I mean, it was a Saturday Night Live sketch turned into a movie. Hilarious. Then the movie broke down during the movie, like the film or whatever messed up. We had to like this long pause so they could get it fixed. fast forward years later when Wayne's World 2 came out, not nearly as good as the original.
Nope.
It broke down during the movie, too, when we watched it. We are right. But I quit counting years ago after 27. I always just found it just so humorous. And I'm about to show it to Michael, my 13-year-old, and I can't wait.
Because, he's going to love it.
Yeah, it's just the dream of it. What is really high up there for y'all? Like, really high up there?
Okay, this is one of my favorite movies, but because...
Side note, and I had to look this up to double check it. So with Wayne's World, I wanted to make sure I had this fact right before I mentioned it.
Okay.
I did not look up the first fact. So Wayne's World actually brought Queen back into like popularity existence.
Absolutely.
The scene where they did Bohemian Rhapsody, like it skyrocketed that song to like number two on the charts. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Lorne Michaels, who SNL, obviously the sketch derived off that, wanted them to use a Guns N' Roses song because they were like the big band at the time. And they were like, no.
And Mike Myers said, if we don't do Bohemian Rhapsody, I won't do Wayne's World.
Yeah.
And so because of that, we're not endorsing movies here, but the movie Bohemian Rhapsody has Mike Myers in it as a tribute to him as a thank you for what he did for the band.
Well, there you go.
Yes,
there I watched it, but I can't full remember circle. Where.
That's a great quick fact.
Yeah, there you go.
I've not seen Bohemian Rhapsody.
So what's
it's a
up,
good movie. It's a good
so,
film.
So what's up there? What's up
okay.
there?
Okay, this is a favorite movie because you know it's kind of like a childhood movie, you know, and also because I'm just a huge fan of the main actor, School of Rock.
Oh, great movie.
First of all, it is a great movie.
Yeah.
But it's just one of my favorite movies because, one, I'm a huge Jack Black fan anyway. Uh-huh. And anything Jack Black, I'll watch it. Even his YouTube channel, Jablinski Games.
Jablinski.
Side note, he just shaved all his hair.
Yes, I saw that video, actually. No kidding.
His beard and head. It's insane.
Like, it's the most random video ever, though, because there's no sound.
5 minutes
it's 5 minutes of him sitting there, like, grabbing his beard hair with scissors and just snipping.
And that's it.
Like,
I bet he looks weird without facial hair.
He looks 30 years younger.
Yeah, he looks way younger, though.
But yeah, that's one of my favorite movies, because that helped guide kind of the type of music I like to listen to. I learned a lot from Jack Black in that movie.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Side note, if you're a Jack Black fan, have you seen the movie Bernie?
Oh, yeah. Andrew's a big fan of Bernie.
I'm a huge Bernie fan.
He's a big fan of Bernie.
Bernie's an honorable mention in my top favorite movies.
Really?
Matthew McConaughey, Bernie.
Wait.
Matthew McConaughey,
I've heard of
Jack Black, and then it has Shirley MacLaine in it.
Is this the
great film? It's based on a true story.
It's about
a
guy. Pastor, right?
Yeah, it's about a guy in Texas.
I've been wanting to watch
this. He befriends this old lady, and then he ends up killing her, and he hides her body. And like, he's the nicest guy in the town. Nobody thinks it's him. And then Matthew McConaughey is the lawyer who decides to like go after and prosecute him.
There are a lot
kind of one of those unknown movies. Great film.
There are a lot of Jack Black hidden gems. If you go on Netflix, there's a movie called Polka King. That is hilarious.
Wow, never heard of that either.
Yeah, no, because it came out recently. It's on Netflix. It's about him committing, it's based on a true story again, committing, investment fraud, but he's just a polka singer.
Really? Oh, that sounds intriguing.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's one. That's up there. One of the best movies I've seen, you know, Star Wars Episode V, that one's just up there for me.
Episode 5, Empire Strikes Back. That's on my list.
I'm
like a three-way tie in Star Wars movies. I really like Return of the Jedi, which is crazy. I like Return of the Jedi. I think because it just has a good,
good
blend of
think,
everything.
Well, that's the last one of the. I mean, of those
of the OG.
That's
the last one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's when the Emperor dies. I mean, that's the iconic quote.
You know,
dies.
Can you imagine? So you know, when Star Wars first came out in 77, it was literally just called Star Wars. Like, there was no Episode 4 or whatever.
New Hope, yeah.
So then when they released the next film, The Empire Strikes Back, and they went back and re-released Star Wars and added Episode 4. So can you imagine going to the movies and being like, wait, where's the first three? Like,
right.
I mean, who releases a trilogy? Like,
and
who
he
releases
did that
a saga
knowing
in
that
the
at
middle?
Some point they would go back. Is that is
kind
that
of, sort of, yeah, but I don't know. But yeah, can you imagine, so you've already seen this movie thinking like, hey, this is the
and
start
the
of something
one,
cool.
And the next one, they just call it
And the next one gets called Episode 5, and they re-release Star Wars, and then at that point, they re-release it and give it the Episode 4.
Episode
so then
four
you're
title.
Going, wait, what? Like, I just jumped in.
Yeah.
Where did I miss the first three?
Because
there wasn't internet. There wasn't.
I didn't realize they did that before they actually made the prequels, if I'm being honest.
There wasn't all this stuff back then. You could just go look it up on Wikipedia or whatever. So can you imagine going to the movies and then seeing, Episode 5 scrolls up there, and you're going, wait, what?
What happened?
Wait,
that I missed. I just watched the first one. What happened?
I just saw the first.
That, that was a quick 2 years.
Did I see one and miss the middle three? Like, what's going on here? So that's a funny. That's
interesting.
Funny. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
Star Wars was on my list.
That's my favorite Star Wars movie.
I really like Rogue One, too. Rogue One was different. Rogue One was good. But it was cool. Had the Star Wars feel. So here are a few of my honorable mentions of my top favorite movies. I couldn't name them all. August Rush, if you've not seen that, great movie. It has Robin Williams in it, actually. It's about a kid who grows up in an orphan and through music is able to find, like, reunite with his parents. Really great film. Dr. No, which is the original... That's the first Sean Connery James Bond. I mean, and let's be honest, James Bond is like a powerhouse
Sean
in film.
Sean Connery James Bond is up there with my favorite.
Sean Connery's the best. Dr. No, that was the first one that came out. It's the first time we got the line, you know, Bond, James Bond.
well done, sir.
It's amazing, yeah. And then, of course, I'm a huge 80s movies guy, so Ghostbusters, Goonies, and then Home Alone 2, because I could watch that movie like every day and it wouldn't faze me. That's a few honorable mentions. That's not my top favorites, but that's a few honorable mentions to get there.
I am in the minority that is not the biggest Home Alone fan.
Of either one?
They're okay. I'll watch them.
Yeah.
I'll watch them and I can tolerate them, but they're like not...
There's parts of me that like two better than one, which is weird. I know.
No, well, look, that's not weird.
What kid did not want the little recording device?
I had one of those.
I know. It was genius by them, and they did it on purpose. I mean, because it was all over Toy Stories.
Of course, yeah.
No, I like
two just because of the scene in the hotel room with Tim Curry. And
I'll say that.
Get on your knees and tell me you love me. I love you. You know, it's just hilarious.
Like, I don't not like those movies. I'll say that. I don't know if that helps my case at
anything
all.
After two is like, just forget, you know.
Oh,
Home Alone 3, Home Alone 4, Home Alone 5.
Those, like, I just forget those why? Exist. That's
cash grab, which happens all the time.
Yeah.
Because it's movies. It's the film industry, right?
Mm-hmm. But I guess because I'm younger, I watch more recent films. Not, like I said, I'm getting into the classics more.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, some of my favorite movies are, well, for Great Will Hunting was one of my favorites, too. Just a good story. And another Robin Williams fan.
I'm sorry, I think I've seen Good Will Hunting. I don't know that.
God, did I say Great Will Hunting?
I don't know that I've seen.
Did I say Great Will Hunting?
How would you could have seen Andrew's
face? That's the unproduced sequel.
Yeah, Great Will Hunting.
I saw your face
Will
and Hunting. I got really confused.
Yeah.
Good Will Hunting.
So people out there, this is little known trivia here. There's actually a trilogy. There's Good Will Hunting, Great Will Hunting, and then there's Greater Will Hunting.
Phenomenal Will Hunting.
Check them out, yeah.
I'm going to edit that part out.
Coming soon. No, please. Don't edit that out. You're forbidden to edit any of this. Well, Good you can edit it for the director's cut, but the extended edition has to have it all.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, so what else besides Great Will Hunting do you like?
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
I haven't seen it.
That was really cool. The animated one? Yeah.
Yeah,
it was great.
I heard it was good.
Film,
I haven't seen it.
But I can
probably one of the
say,
best comic book movies made.
Oh, well, you already said it. Yeah. I was going to say it's a bold statement, but it's one of the best comic book movies I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's animated, yes, so people are like, oh, it's a cartoon. It's worth a watch. So
yeah, I've heard it's great.
Here's a quick fact about that. Sony actually developed a new style of animation for that film.
Hmm.
Yes, I knew that. I have another quick fact.
Okay, here we go.
For most of the film is in 30 frames per second. Miles Morales... At the beginning of the film was in 24 frames per second, but as he grew in his skills in Spider-Man, he went up to 30 frames per second to show like how his skill has perfected. It's a really, really small detail that you wouldn't notice.
That's really cool. I did not know that.
But now that you watch it, it's like,
I'm gonna
oh my
have
gosh,
to go back
it's
and
smoother
watch
all
it again
of a sudden.
Just
yeah.
to see that.
So is that your official favorite comic book superhero movie?
Yeah, yes. That is my favorite comic movie.
Because mine is Wonder Woman.
Really?
Yeah, you know, I had such when I saw it in theaters. I think it's because I had no expectations for it at all. I wasn't like, oh man, this is going to be incredible.
You had no hope in the DC universe either.
and Casey and I have talked about this. I'm not picky DC Marvel guy. Like, I just watch it for surface. I don't overanalyze it. I just enjoy it. Like, I'm not picky either. I'm not like Twilight. Like, I'm not team whatever their names were. Like, team werewolf or team
Edward,
vampire.
Jacob,
yeah,
and
like
Bella.
Yeah. So I don't. Clint. I like DC or Marvel. So I went and watched Wonder
Woman.
I
like both too.
I was blown away.
Wonder Woman
the soundtrack.
Is good.
Come on, bro. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That guitar riff. You know, and she is just unleashing.
They did a really good job casting her, too.
Yeah, I'm a
fan. Wonder Woman was a great film. So, here we go. Comic book movies. My favorite one. Here we go. The Dark Knight. I know
it's a great, it's a good movie. It's a good movie.
I saw that movie either 6 or 7 times in theaters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's when,
like, I was obsessed. I went like a year and a half obsessed with The Dark Knight.
So it was interesting how I watched all the films.
Because you're Batman, that's your number one.
I know. I was surprised when you said Spider-Man. I'm thinking, like,
yeah, I was surprised.
Well, I knew The Dark Knight is almost to Marvel.
Like,
well, in middle school, my love for Batman started in middle school when I watched Batman Begins. And I didn't know that this trilogy really existed because I was in middle school, you know. And then,
oh my gosh, it makes that, you feel so young. No, I mean old.
I know.
You're so young.
Hear this. This is the worst part, and I can't believe I did this. I didn't know there was a whole trilogy. I was like, oh, cool, Batman Begins, and it was a good movie. And then my mom took me to the midnight premiere of The Dark Knight Rises. So I watched Batman Begins and The Dark Knight Rises without seeing The Dark Knight.
Missed the whole middle part of the trilogy.
And I was really confused, but I still loved the movie.
I'm so sorry.
And then I went back. And I rewatched The Dark Knight, and I was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
What did I miss?
Yeah.
And that's when my love for Batman, like, flourished.
Yeah, it's great. Great movies.
But it's okay. I'm more open to other superheroes nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, so. Comic book honorable mentions, Iron Man, obviously, the first one that started the whole Marvel universe. Great film. That was actually the first movie I ever watched in, like, high def. Like, I went to...
Yes, I went to the theater.
Movie
to see
gallery.
That.
We didn't have Blockbuster in my
Love
hometown.
Movie gallery.
I went to movie gallery and rented, because I had just purchased a Blu-ray player. Just got it for my birthday, so I went and rented Iron Man on Blu-ray.
Yeah,
brought it home. This was the first time I'd ever put a movie like in high def on my TV, and it was like
game changer,
mind blowing to see this. I was like, this is incredible. So,
oh yeah.
All right, man. Guardians of the Galaxy. Big fan of those.
I never got on the Guardians of the Galaxy.
The first one, not
fine,
the second one.
Fine.
Really?
The second one had just way too many like just crude jokes in it. Like, it was like they were trying to force the jokes down.
Well, you know, that's my feeling about a lot of Marvel movies here. Every once in a while, it's like, am I watching a Marvel movie or am I watching a comedy that has a little bit of superhero in it?
Well, I think that's
you have to read the
like
comic.
Thor Ragnarok. I'm not a fan.
Are you a comic guy, though?
No.
See, you're not a comic book guy. So if you read the comic books, you get more appreciation for what they do.
Yeah. I just, at some point, it's just overkill. You know,
Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy was in one of my honorable mentions, too, just because I think it's insanely rewatchable for me.
Yeah.
It's just one of those that I can watch and listen to the jokes and enjoy if I'm not, like, completely paying attention. So
I know we mentioned him earlier. I have to go down the Spielberg trail because, obviously, I have to just be honorable mentions because Steven Spielberg, he's like the GOAT. So, you know, obviously, we start looking at all he has his hands in. You ready? Here we go.
Okay.
My mind just went blank. Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Spielberg. Mm-hmm. Jaws, Spielberg. Mm-hmm. E.T., Spielberg. Back to the Future Trilogy, Spielberg. The Goonies, Spielberg. Jurassic Park, Spielberg.
Wow.
Indiana Jones, Spielberg. Like, you start naming all these movies, you're like, oh my gosh.
Lincoln. This,
yeah, I mean, even the new stuff he did. Lincoln.
If you remember that.
Bridge of Spies, great film. Tom
Bridge
Hanks
of
and Spielberg.
Spies, great
movie, historically. I mean, and the list goes on, but just those big trilogies like that, I mean, they're still making movies in those universes that like he brought to life.
We gotta stop here and talk about Tom Hanks for just a quick minute.
Tom Hanks, okay.
Because we could talk Tom Hanks forever.
We could talk Tom Hanks.
Okay, but we talk about how we quote movie stuff all the time in this building.
We do.
What line would you say we quote more than any other? And it has Tom Hanks. Actually, Tom Hanks doesn't say it, but what Tom Hanks line from a movie do we say more than any other, Andrew?
Oh, man.
Are you kidding?
Do I know this?
I am kidding.
You probably heard us say it.
I mean, I say...
It's a newer Tom Hanks movie, relatively newer.
I go around quoting Forrest Gump all the time, but...
No. You know, well, maybe it's...
Got you some Oscar.
It's not from Captain Phillips.
Yes.
Is that
oh,
one?
Yeah.
Is that
oh,
one
duh, yeah.
I'm the captain now.
I'm the captain now.
I mean, we just
say that all the time.
It's my favorite line. It's not I'm the captain now.
Man, I forget that's even Tom Hanks.
That
like,
was such a huge
Captain Phillips
meme.
Big, great movie. If you've not seen Big,
he's another one of those actors. That if he's in it, pretty much you can watch.
It's going to be good. Yeah. I mean, Big. That's one of the like when we went to New York City several years ago. Like I wanted to find the piano and play it.
Sure.
In the toy store.
Right.
It's closed now.
It's cool.
FAO Schwartz is closed.
Sad day, but.
What was the movie called where he's so just cool. in the
terminal. The Terminal?
The Terminal, yes. great movie.
That's based on a somewhat true story, isn't it? About a guy that actually got stuck. I think so, yeah.
Sully. I thought that was a great
Sully
movie.
Was Sully? A good
it's
movie.
Not as it's not as well remembered, I think, but I thought it was a great
He does
movie.
A great job in it.
Confession, I've not seen Sully.
You really? Need to see Sully.
That's a good one.
I've not seen
Sully. Okay. I think that's a good honorable mention for Tom Hanks.
So if we have to mention Tom Hanks, I have to go back to another one of my favorite movies, Toy Story.
Well, come on.
Of course.
Let's be honest. Toy Story.
Yeah,
it's one of my favorite films.
If you don't like Toy Story, you don't have
Soul. If you don't
like
Toy Story.
Yeah, I had my reservations about Toy Story 4, but it turned out to be really
good. It was
really
good.
Great.
It was a good way to end.
But also, but for as someone who really likes graphic effects and stuff, I mean, I think that was
like the first. Apple was kind of in existence with Pixar then at the time, and they kind of developed all the stuff. And then, like,
cool.
First computer animated film that came out.
There's,
and now
there's
look
a lot
we're
of
at.
Little facts.
That was
you
the
could
first
say
computer
that.
Animated film.
Full-length computer animated film. Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
Toy Story. And then look at where we're at now. Everything's computer animated.
I'm more Team Monsters Incorporated.
Incorporated. Okay, so bringing everything back around. Here we go. Honorable mention again, The Muppet Movie. I can't believe you didn't mention that either.
Oh, man. Moving right along.
The Muppets.
Sorry.
Moving right along. Yeah. Moving right along. Next. Yeah. So going back to The Searchers, I want to tie everything into a nice little bow here. So The Searchers, 1956, the John Wayne Western, filmed by John Ford, okay? So there's a couple scenes in this movie. One of the scenes that was copied out of this film was John Wayne is standing there and he's kind of overlooking like his family's homestead that has gotten burned. Okay, so flash forward to 1977. George Lucas, when Luke in A New Hope is standing there looking at the homestead that has burned, it's like a homage to the Searchers film, John Ford, okay?
Interesting.
Yeah, you can look it up. It's fact. And there's a couple other things, too, that he tied in. And later on, I think Attack of the Clones has some references to this John Ford film. That's how influential it was to these directors. So, George Lucas, we're gonna follow me on the web here, okay? So, George Lucas has a dog. Does anybody know what George Lucas's dog's name was back in the 70s?
C-3PO.
No, the dog's name was
Chewy.
The dog's name was Indiana. Literally, no lie. His dog was named Indiana. So him and Steven Spielberg are getting together. They're wanting to come up with this adventure style film based on some early adventure movies from like the 50s. The dog's name was Indiana. So I'm tying in. His dog was actually also the inspiration for Chewbacca. So you get Chewbacca based off of George Lucas's dog, and then you have Indiana, the dog's name, which becomes the running joke of the Indiana Jones movies, okay? So, favorite movie, probably of all time, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Yeah, great movie.
Mm-hmm.
Great film. Yeah. If you haven't seen the Indiana Jones...
The Last Crusade is your favorite.
Temple of Doom and Last Crusade go back and forth. Yeah. Last Crusade is probably my favorite, though. So, George Lucas and Steven Spielberg wrote these two movies together. Wrote all these movies together. Came up with the idea and everything. Great films. If you haven't seen the original three Indiana Jones movies, go watch them. Here's a quick fact about that. Temple of Doom was the second film released, but if you actually watch the opening title sequence, when it has the date, Temple of Doom actually takes place 2 years before Raiders of the Lost Ark, as far as the Indiana Jones timeline goes.
Really?
Yes, really. You should go watch it and you'll see that.
Interesting. Well, I'm going to watch them in chronological
order.
So,
there's a scene in The Last Crusade. It's towards the very end of the film. And there's a lot of religious undertones in the Indiana Jones movies, too.
Sure.
George Lucas grew up Methodist, and Spielberg is, I think, Jewish. So, religion kind of played a big part. So, in this last movie, The Last Crusade, the scene towards the very end of the film, they've just found the Holy Grail. They brought it out. They weren't supposed to cross the threshold. Elsa decides to cross the threshold. She drops it. So, she goes down to get it. Indiana Jones is holding on to her. And he can't hold on to her. She drops because she's trying to reach the cup. So then Indiana Jones is reaching down there. So here comes, Sean Connery. The dog's name was Indiana. So has not called him by his name the entire film. It's called him Junior because his name is actually Henry Jones Jr.
Mm-hmm.
So Sean Connery comes over, grabs Indiana Jones's hand, and is like holding on to him. So Indiana Jones is going to reach, like he's trying to reach the Holy Grail. So Sean Connery just goes, Indiana. This is the first time he's called him by his name he prefers. He goes, Indiana, Indiana. So Indiana turns and looks up at Sean Connery, and he goes, let it go. Okay. So Indiana Jones' dad has dedicated his entire life to finding the Holy Grail. But at that moment, like, he realizes his son's life is so much more important than, like, anything else he's dedicated to. So that's such an analogy to what God does for us. Like, we may be having our eyes fixed on this certain prize or certain things like that, And God will just simply say, you know, Andrew, Casey, just to get our attention. And when we turn towards him, it's when we realize at that point that he is like reaching his hand out for us and saying, hey, forget whatever prize you're looking for, whatever, you know, fortune and glory you're going after, and just let me pick you up and pull you up here to safety, to where you need to be. So that's such a cool like analogy, and you can find things like that in every movie.
Sure.
But I thought that one too, for like my favorite movie, just kind of really stuck out. Like, you know, God is reaching out, calling us by his name, calling us by our name all the time. We just have to turn our focus towards him and realize like he's, you know, we may think he's pulling us away from something we want or whatever, but really in reality, like he cares more about us than like anything else. So that's a cool little nice.
Yeah.
I just got saved all over again.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
We're going to have Andrew back because I thought of another great conclave conversations we need to have, Casey. And this would be, man, would be conclave conversations talking about theme parks.
Oh boy.
Oh yeah.
I mean, or all things Disney, Disney World. All things
Disney. We could do just Disney films.
Yeah.
Golly.
Yeah.
Spielberg films.
Absolutely.
Tom Hanks movies.
Well, we appreciate you coming hanging out with us today.
Yeah, I loved it. Great time.
I mean, great time. We chopped it down to how long have we been talking, Casey?
This is one of our longer ones.
So how long?
A little over 36.
36 minutes, and we could have gone 3 hours and 36 minutes if we let ourselves.
Stay tuned. Part two's coming. Yeah, what you don't know is we're going to release this, and then like 6 months from now, you're going to just see a sequel and be like, wait, I thought I didn't know there was a first part.
Mm-hmm.
Surprise. This is actually chapter 10.
All right, we'll talk to you good people next time on Conclave.
Thanks for having me. See you guys.